Articles by Fearlessly Courageous from the desk of Dennis Piller. What is the sealing of the Holy Spirit? In Ephesians 1:13 it says, "You heard and believed the message of truth, the good news that he has saved you. In him you were sealed with the Holy Spirit whom he promised." When a king appoints an ambassador or a governor, his commission is sealed with the king's seal, bearing the king's likeness. In like manner, the Holy Spirit is the seal of our redemption, not in the sense of giving us the assurance of our sonship as something apart from himself. He himself, by his life, is the seal of our sonship. His work is to reveal and glorify Christ in us, the image of the Father. How does that happen? When we fix our heart and our faith in him to transform us into his likeness, and what a wonderful thought. He is giving witness to the divine life within us and enabling us to live out that life every day, in every breath, in every moment of every joint, every. In a true Christian's life, everything depends on knowing the presence of the Holy Spirit and understanding his blessed work. First, we need to know that he comes to take mastery of our whole person, spirit, soul, and body, and through that, to reveal the life and the power of God as it works in our renewed personality. Here may come a hard part for most of us. Jesus Christ could not be glorified and receive the Spirit from the Father for us until he died upon the cross, which means departing from that life in which he had borne our sin and weaknesses. So the same coming of the Holy Spirit into our hearts in power implies that we must yield ourselves to the fellowship of the cross. Let that sink in a moment. And consent to die entirely to that life in which sin and self have their power. It is imperative that we understand that it is only through the death of our self-life that allows the Holy Spirit to come in power in a spirit life within us. The why is obvious, so that the heavenly life can take complete possession of us. The reason that believers are feeble and ignorant of the blessings of the Spirit is this. At the time of conversion and in their Christian life, the question was never faced and never settled for us, that it will be only by the grace of God that we would, that we must, in everything and every place and at every moment, yield ourselves to the control of the Spirit. Now, I know most of us were never taught about our walk down the Via Dolorosa to die on our own cross. And that was the road Jesus carried his own cross to be crucified on. Then Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16:24, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If you didn't fully understand that, then today we'll explain many of the trials you have endured, wondering where the power of the Holy Spirit was in your own life and in your own walk with God. Jesus had to die in the flesh to know the full embrace and power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And you will continue to grow in faith as you search out his word and allow his light to break through the remaining layers of darkness that remain in your life and hinder your prayers and the very power of the Holy Spirit working through you. Oh, that God's children in his church would accept God's terms, the undivided mastery of the Spirit, the unhesitating surrender of the whole being to his control. First, let's fully realize that the degree or the nature in which the working of the Spirit is experienced by many varies tremendously. One believer may rejoice in one of the fruits of the Spirit, peace or joy, zeal or boldness, and yet be extremely deficient in the other graces that his presence bestows. So if that be true, and it is, how do we navigate that as fledgling Christians? First off, when was the last time you truly humbled yourself? Our position towards the Holy Spirit must be that of perfect teachableness, waiting to be led by him in the complete will of God. It begins with an inner consciousness of how much there is within our hearts that still needs to be renewed and sanctified. That will be something that we will continue to grow in as we die to the old man. At the time of the fall, two great enemies emerged, the world and self. When he refers to the world, Jesus says the spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it doesn't know me. Worldliness is the great hindrance that keeps believers from living a spirit-filled life. When he speaks of self, Christ said, let a man deny himself. Let a man hate his own life. Self in all its forms, self-will, self-pleasing, self-confidence, renders life and the power of the Spirit impossible and your life powerless. From these two great enemies, nothing can deliver us but the cross of Christ. He tells us that they are Christ's, have crucified the flesh. That's who we are when we're really Christ, which has been the flesh's seat of power. I pray you are listening with spiritual ears. Finally, we must learn the most precious lesson, that the Holy Spirit won't inspire our devotional life unless he inspires our daily life. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit means that in the entirety of our life, nothing is to be thought of or trusted or sought after but the immediate and continual dependence on his blessed working within us. His seal, attached to a document, gives validity to every sentence and word it contains. It's called his Holy Bible. The seal of the Holy Spirit confirms every promise that there is in Christ. The Bible standards, not man's standards, is the seal of the Spirit being accepted, which means that the control of every moment and every moment of our life should be surrendered to him alone. The human standard pictures us as content with a partial surrender to his guidance. This means we walk without any real power because we're still walking in self, and the old man is still on the throne of our lives. If we make an examination of our spiritual walk, you will see the ineptness in too many areas of your life that are evidence of what is being declared today. I pray you make it a Jesus-filled day.